Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and with thanksgiving, I'll be a
Why do we have to be a sanctuary? Why do we cry out to be a sanctuary? It's the place where God dwells. It's the place where God can be used and fellowships with one another. We are, the Bible says, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Glory be, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, all for you. Glory be to the Lord, God Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you look upon mankind and took mindful of him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory be, glory be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brothers and sisters, we understand by the scriptures how God the Father operated in the Old Testament, the first covenant, and he spoke to many people through the prophets, and he gave them directions. Then he spoke, the Bible says in Hebrews, in these last days by his Son. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So when you read the second covenant or the New Testament and you read the words of Jesus, it's the ones that he pronounced through those days, through those years to his disciples, and his disciples copy them down and they come down to us through written vehicles. Glory be to the Lord. And we know, we understand, and we know that the Dead Sea Scrolls was founded in 1947 by a Bethlehem shepherd, young boy. And in there, we have the Bible that is 1,000 years older than the earliest manuscript that mankind has. So when we look at these scriptures, we have a reference for God, because God has chosen us out of many to be his sanctuary. Hallelujah. And we see Jesus Christ took on a body. He dwelt with us here on earth for 33 years. And then he went back to the Father after his resurrection. He went back to the Father. He said he would send back the Comforter. The Father will send the Comforter too. It's all in one. And who's the Comforter but the Holy Spirit? He is alongside of us. He is inside of us, the Paracletic, the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want to take any credit, any accolades towards himself. He wants to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the only one who went on the cross. We understand by the scriptures that God, who is one, manifested himself as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ manifested himself in the three forms so we could obtain salvation. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, he sent back the Holy Spirit. And he's with us. He guides us and teaches us. He shows us the things of God. And he brings to our memory the words that Christ has said and the events that took place in those years. Glory be, glory be. So today in the study is Christianity real? We're going to be looking at the power in the Holy Spirit. The power in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you remember from the teaching, the word power in the Greek has two different type of meaning. One talks about authority. The other one talks about ability. So we have authority in the name of Jesus Christ, glory be, to restrain, to hold back anything that the enemy is trying to do. And we have the ability to cause things to change miraculously when we have faith in him. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Let's start off with prayer before we go on. Most precious and Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you. We want to glorify you for everything you have done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you plan to do, Father God. We understand, oh Lord, that we are yours and yours alone. You rescued us. You redeemed us from the clutches of the enemy. At one time, we were slaves to sin and Satan, but no longer. Now we are slaves to you, O Lord God, voluntarily, because we know that you are holy and righteous, and you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're the one who overcame everything. The enemy is lost. his loss, Jesus Christ obtained the victory at the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ shed his blood for our redemption, for our justification. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ won us back to you, Father. Thank you that you are mindful of us, O Lord. And we thank you, Lord. If there's anything that we have done or said, Lord, anything in our heart that don't belong there, that is not pleasing unto you, we ask, O Father God, that you cleanse us by your Holy Spirit, that we be a vessel for the good use, a clay vessel, a dress without a spot or wrinkle. We want to thank you, Father God, because we know that you're preparing your wife for that great marriage feast. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father God, guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit into all truth, O Lord God. And we'll be so careful to give you the honor and the praise and the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, there's a time in our life where we come to a crossroads and we have to look at the scriptures and say to ourselves, is this correct or is this something that man made up? Well, when you look at the scriptures, man could have not made them up, because a lot of things in the scriptures, it appears like they're contradictions. They're not contradictions. It's a mystery. It takes us to study the scriptures and to understand and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to give us clarity so we too could understand what he wrote through his messengers. And we thank the Lord for that. So today we're going to be looking at the power in the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, we say that he's the third person of the Trinity. You might say, but Pastor Carlos, that word Trinity is not found in the Bible. So why are we saying that he's the third person of the Trinity? Well, we're going to get to that, but I want to share with you that if you look at the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus tells his disciples to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. And we understand by the scriptures that, you know, we have a direct way. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says that we are to baptize people in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So brothers and sisters, you know, I look at it as semantics, because that's the way I feel that that's what it's talking about, the same thing. He's using different words. So it's a mystery why he will say Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and in another place he will say Jesus Christ. Well, if you look, it says in Matthew 28, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son of the Holy Spirit. But then when we read Philippians, it says that Jesus Christ was given a name above every other name. So I believe that in Acts chapter 2:38, it entails that name, Jesus Christ, because he's the one that suffered. He's the one that gave his life for us. But let's go back to the beginning. Let us read what Leviticus chapter 23 says about that day when people got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to begin chapter 23 at verse 15 through 21. And the word of God says, and ye shall count from the morrow after the Sabbath. Now that we know the Sabbath is Friday to Saturday, so the morrow after would be Sunday, the first day of the week. From that day that you brought the sheaf of wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. And we know, according to Jewish tradition, they wave the sheaf of offering on the first day of the week. The priest takes the offering and he waves it to God as a sacrifice offering. It says in verse 16, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Well, it says 50 days. In the Jewish literature, it says 50 days. But in the Pentateuch, in the Greek scriptures, 50 days is changed to Pentecost. So we know that Pentecost is a Jewish festival, and we keep it whatever the calendar says. This year, 23, was May 28th. That was a Sunday where we celebrated Pentecost. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 17, and you shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2 tenths deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And when you look at it spiritually, my brothers and sisters, the first fruits unto the Lord is the new man. The new man where it tells Jewish and Gentiles alike. That's why the rabbi there, the high priest, waved two breads, one representing the Jewish, one representing the Gentiles. Verse 18, and ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. And we keep reading that word, first fruits. We are the first fruits, my brothers and sisters. If you look at the Jewish harvest, the priest goes into the harvest land and he gathers the first fruits of the Omer, and he counts 50 and he puts a scarlet thread around it, keep it together, and he brings and he makes a barley loaf and he waves that unto the Lord. Then he goes out in the day of Pentecost 50 days later, and he gathers the first fruits of the harvest. That's us, brothers and sisters. We, the Gentiles, who are born-again Christians, and the Jewish brothers and sisters who are born-again Christians, are together, we are the first fruits of the Lord. And that's why he waves two breads to signify, to show the two offerings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And the priest, in verse 20, and the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. With the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priests. And you notice that some of the bread, some of the lambs' meat went to the priest. It not only went on fire to the Lord, it went to the priest. The priests were able to enjoy a good meal there. They had meat, they had bread. And if you remember what Revelation says, harm not the wine or the barley, remember? That's what it says, harm not the wine or the barley there. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priests. And you shall proclaim on the self-same days that it may be holy convocation unto you. You shall do no work, no severe work therein. It shall be statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. So the people have to celebrate Pentecost because it's one of the feasts of Israel, of the Lord. And not only that, but it is one of the feasts where the young men, 20 and older, had to go to Jerusalem to worship every year. You have Passover, Pentecost, and you had Tabernacles. Those three feasts, the young man had to appear in Jerusalem. Glory to the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Let us go to John chapter 14 and see what the scripture says there to us. And we're going to read it and ask God, Lord, does it apply to me? do I have to keep it? Do I have to celebrate it? Well, let's read John 14, verse 50 to 29. Let's see what the scripture says. 15 to 29. If you love me, Jesus said, you keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it see him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you shall see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day, what is that? We have to keep that in the back of our mind. It's talking about something. At that day, we shall know, you shall know, that I'm in the Father, and you are me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of the Father, and I will love him, and he and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not as Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me and not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. So we understand that there is a day coming, and we understand that something is going to happen. When that happens, we would know that the Son is with the Father is with the Son, and the Son is with us, and he will not leave us comforters. He will bring forth a peace unto us. Let's go on to chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we understand that we've been with the Lord. We've been with the Lord from the time that he found us, that he called us. He hasn't left our side, and hopefully we haven't left his side. We'll continue to give him honor, to give him praise and glory for what he has done. Once again, let me just share with you, this is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr., and your host, The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio this Thursday. We have our teaching, it's Christianity Real. And if you have any question, comment, or testimony, you can call 516-418-5944. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. After the program, after 7 o'clock, if you like to call the church, it's 772-626 3178. Or you could email the church at lowercase WTL Tabernacle, TABERNACLE at gmail.com. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And just for a second, if you would just hold on for a second, let me go to the chat room and see if anyone's there. Glory be, hallelujah. Okay, we've been connected and no one is there at the time, so I'm going to head back to the studio and take this live again. So don't forget, you can call us at 516-418-5944 here on Blog Talk Radio. Glory be to the Lord. Let me give you a little disclaimer. I should have done it earlier. But the songs that we play here on Blog Talk Radio, they don't belong to Pastor Carlos Ramos. They don't belong to The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle. They don't belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists. Because we bought the CD or the DVD in it, we have permission to use their product. Glory. So we use songs. And we just don't pick any and choose anyone. We wait upon the Holy Spirit. And he guides us and directs us as to what song to use for that particular program. Glory be to the Lord. Today, the song that was Make Us a Sanctuary. Make Us a Sanctuary. The Holy Spirit is going to dwell within us. He's with us, alongside of us, but he's going to be inside of us, a paracletic. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go on to chapter 16, beginning at verse 4, and we're going to read to till verse 15 and see what the scripture says unto us. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believed not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Glory be, hallelujah. And the last verse, how be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. Glory be. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father had are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Glory be. Hallelujah. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, you know, there was a time a while ago, and this is after I was saved, after I became a born-again Christian. I was attending a church, and, you know, to me, it was different. It was something else. I didn't understand the move of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, an individual there lost the shoe and put the shoe back on as they were dancing. And the individual came to me and said, you know, make as if you're talking in tongues, because the sisters don't believe that you received the Holy Spirit. And I said to the Lord, I said, if this is what it is, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't want no part of it because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to say one thing one day, another day I'm doing something else. The Holy Spirit is true, then everything that I do will be to your glory, Lord. And let me tell you, because of my ignorance, it took me 5 years of crying, of praying, Lord, please baptize me with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord was ready. He would have given me the Holy Spirit. He would have baptized me with the Holy Spirit. But what came about was I was not forgiving myself. I was not forgiving myself for saying those words because I know by saying those words that I would have offended the Holy Spirit. I would have grieved the Holy Spirit, God himself. And I didn't want that to be on my shoulders. So I kept crying. And one day, the Lord is so faithful, so good. I woke up from a dream, a beautiful dream. I woke up speaking in tongues, and I didn't know what this language was. And I didn't know interpretation. I didn't know none of that. But as I got up from the laying flat, I got into sitting down and praying. I heard myself saying the Our Father prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And that's how I end my prayer at nighttime when I go to bed, because it is something that the Lord gave me, and I honor him, and I praise him, and I glorify him, you know. And yes, the Lord had me speaking in tongues. No, I don't have the interpretation of tongues. And yes, he has given me my prayer tongue. He hasn't given me the gift of tongues where you speak in tongues to the public. No, I don't have that. But what counts is that Jesus Christ remembered me. And in my anguish, in my prayer, and my fear, the Lord blessed me. And he gave me the Holy Spirit. And so is with you, my brothers and sisters. No matter what you have done, if you are born again Christian, but have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, today could be the day. Today, all we need to do is raise our hands and begin to praise him and worship him and let the Holy Spirit speak in and through you. He will be the person who will be doing the speaking. He will be using your vocal cords. He will be using your mouth and speak of the wonderful things of the Lord. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And, you know, a lot of people that receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit seem to receive power, and now they could go out and testify. As a matter of fact, when we read the book of Acts, and we're going to go there in a minute, and we're going to read what the word says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world, of the earth. Glory be, glory be. Again, that power. Jesus Christ gave them power. If you read the Gospels carefully, he gave them the authority. He said, I give you authority to tread on scorpions and demons. Now he's given them the ability for them to go out, because he's not present. Before he was present, but for them to go out now and have the ability to heal the sick and to drive out demons. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So that would happen in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. let's go to the actual event and we'll see how the actual event coincides with what Leviticus 23 says. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, now it's interesting that the words fully come in this first sentence. So that lets me to believe that if it was a 49th day, if it was a 45th day, that is not the fullness of the feast. The feast, if you remember Leviticus, they were to count 7 Sabbaths plus the day after tomorrow. So it comes out to 50 days exactly. So the Lord, the Holy Spirit, what he did when he wrote the scriptures through Luke, in the first chapter of Luke, it tells you Jesus was with them for 40 days, and he showed them with many infallible proofs. He spoke himself and the things that he did for 40 days. And then he tells them, but wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. You will be endued with power from on high. And sure enough, they went to the upper room. The word of God says about 120 of them were there. And, they were praying. And I'm sure that they were getting the schisms out of the church. They wanted to have clean hearts and pure hearts and clean hands. And did they realize that the day of Pentecost was coming? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say they realized that. But when the 50th day came, when they counted 49 days, hallelujah, when they counted 49 days, which is the 7 Sabbaths, the 8th day or the first day of the week would have been that Sunday. So this is what the Bible says. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, so we know the day of Pentecost came on that first Sunday, 50 days after the wave of the offering. They were all in one accord and in one place. They were all in one accord and in one place. Ain't that? The Word of God tells us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves. A lot of people, they don't go to church for whatever reason they want to come up with. But the Bible tells us that we should assemble together. We should come together. And here in the book of Acts, they came in one place and they were in one accord and one mind. One day we were praising the Lord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is fantastic what happened there. We go now to Ezekiel chapter 1, and we're going to see what Ezekiel was sharing with the congregants there in verse 4, he says, and I look, chapter 1, verse 4, and I look, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Glory be to the Lord, hallelujah. And we understand here, as we study the scriptures, Ezekiel saw when the Holy Spirit was coming as a mighty rushing wind. And it occurred on the day of Pentecost when the way Jesus said. Remember, Jesus said, on that day, when it occurs, you would know that I spoke to you ahead of time. I told you these things ahead of time before it happens. So when it does happen, you believe, hallelujah. And so we have Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, They were all with one accord and one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and sat upon each of them. And they all filled with the Holy with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the day that Jesus was talking about in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, chapter 14, chapter 16, is the day that the Paracletus, which was alongside of the disciples, was going to come inside. He was going to baptize them. He was going to fill them up with the power, with the ability and the authority that the Father had promised, that Jesus had promised, and that the Holy Spirit delivered. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. here on Blog Talk Radio. Your host is The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle. And if you have any questions, comments, or testimonies, you can call us at 516-418-5944. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to call the church after 7, you want to call 772-626-3178. If you want to email the church, it's going to be lowercase WTL Tabernacle, TABERNACLE, at Comcast.net. Correction, at gmail.com. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we see, you know, in the world, there are about 42 different beliefs or religions, but there's only one empty tomb. And because of that empty tomb, because Jesus Christ resurrected and he ascended to heaven, it's the reason why the Holy Spirit was given to us, to the church, so we could have the power, the authority and ability to do the things that God said that we would do. He told the disciples, greater works than these shall you do. Now, I just want to share something with the hearing audience, and that is, you know, when you speak to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and they cry out to be saved, and they repent of their sins and they receive Christ as the Lord and Savior, they are being made alive by the Holy Spirit. Because Ephesians chapter 2 says we were dead in our sins. So when you speak to the person and they become alive in Christ Jesus, you just resurrected the dead. That's the ability that you have in the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God. And we know that the word of God is like a two-edged sword, cutting even asunder the soul, the blood from the marrow, the bone from the marrow, the soul from the spirit. Glory be to the Lord. And it is so sharp. There's no man out there that could contest against the word of God. Oh, there's many takers. There's many people out there that they think they could take on the word of God. But when the word of God is presented to them and they realize the state that they find themselves in, many of them change their mind. They might change their mind in front of you, or they might go home and change their mind afterwards. So is Christianity real? We have spoken about the blood. We have spoken about the name. Glory be. We have spoken about the Holy Spirit. Glory be. Thank you, Jesus. Next week, we're going to speak a little bit about the resurrection, and then we're going to speak about the witnessing. That will be the end of this subject. And we just pray that you will go to the archives and listen and pay attention and write down your scriptures and study your scriptures so you could see that we are not taking scriptures from here and there and apply it to the subtopic. It is something that we believe the Holy Spirit gave us to teach so we could share the scriptures with y'all and y'all could come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Because we have an imminent expectation of the return of Christ. His soon coming for the church is very soon. The Word of God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. We that remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds forever to be with the Lord. So we see that the rapture of the church culminates at the clouds. He's going to take us to his Father's house, and we're going to have the dinner meal, and there's going to be a wedding feast of the Lamb. And then later on, 70 years later, there's going to be a war where Jesus Christ comes back sitting upon the horse, and his name is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And we come with him as the army of heaven, sitting upon white horses. But guess what? We wouldn't have to take out the blade out of the sheath at all, because the Word of God tells us Jesus would defeat the enemy with the breath of his mouth. Hallelujah. He will come rescue Israel from the caves that they're hiding from. Some of them are hiding there because the Antichrist brought in the desecration abomination. They brought an image, a pig, to desecrate the temple. And so they escape awaiting. They realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, because the Word of God tells us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, beginning of verse 29, it says that at the end of the tribulation of those days, let me read it to you correctly so I don't misinterpret what it says. Matthew 24, verse 29, it begins, beginning of verse 25, Jesus speaking, "Behold, I have told you before, whereof if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shining even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." And this is what I wanted to quote to you as you continue to understand that this is after the wedding feast. It says, immediately after the tribulation. So people that believe in the mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, they understand by this verse that when the tribulation begins, when the Antichrist makes himself known, when he is known, they have 7 years. So right there, it's not in void, the return of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said no one knows the hour or nor the day. So it will be pre-trib. Here it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of earth, heaven, to the other. Glory be, hallelujah. And when you go to Zechariah chapter 12, 13 or 14, you're going to read there where the Jewish people asked Jesus, "Where did you get these marks?" And Jesus is going to answer them and say, "I got them in my friend's house." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're going to realize that he's a true Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach, because he received those marks on the cross, the nail prints, the crown of thorns, this injury that he received from the spear, the whipping that he received when he was at the post. So they're going to know that this is the real Messiah, and they're going to mourn as one mourns for a lost child, because they're going to realize, you know, we have not accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior, but all this he has done. Not only did he shed his blood, not only did he have a great name, but he also gave the Holy Spirit so we could go forward and announce his coming, so we could go forward and portray everything. Those people that believe in the mid and the post-tribulation, just what I say one thing to you. Number one is, if you're married, did you punish your wife that night that you got married? Did you punish her? So the question is, why would you expect Jesus to punish the church by allowing it to go through the tribulation? Yet he says in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, that we, the church, have not been appointed to the wrath of God. But we're not going to go through this wrath because he's going to save us out of it. As a matter of fact, Revelation 3 and 10, it says that he will save us from the hour of temptation. We're not going to pass through it, my brothers and sisters. And the second thing, and that is, if you're not going to punish your wife and Christ to punish the church. So, but let me ask you, you that say you believe in mid-trib and post-trib, let me ask you, you don't believe in pre-tribulation rapture. Okay, so let's say that the mid-trib and the post-trib are right. Well, myself being a pre-tribber, don't have to worry that much, because if the tribulation starts and I'm still around and I understand that the rapture will take place midpoint or post, then I don't have to worry. I could just wait to the ending of the tribulation. But my brothers and sisters, I love you so much to tell you the truth. In Corinthians, it says, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men everywhere to be reconciled to God. So you say you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you don't want to believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. So what happens, my brothers and sisters, to you when the tribulation rapture takes place, pre-tribulation takes place, and we're gone and you are left behind? What are you going to do then, my brothers and sisters? What are you going to tell your wife? What are you going to tell your children about the truth from the Lord? And the problem is, my brothers and sisters, the Word of God tells us that the Antichrist will force everyone, rich or poor, sick or good, to take the mark of the beast. Is that what you're going to take, the mark of the beast, to get over? You know what Revelation says? Everyone who took the mark of the beast will be cast into the lake of fire. So I'd rather believe in the pre-tribulation rapture and wait for the Lord. And if it doesn't happen pre-trib, then I know post-trib or mid-trib is going to come by. But my brothers and sisters, those of you that don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, which I do, and you'll be left behind. There'll be much crying. There'll be a silence in heaven because of your wrong decision. Glory be, glory be. Hallelujah. Let me give you a little itinerary of the church. We're coming to the ending of the program. And that is every Sunday at 6 o'clock, we have the Bible mystery. This Sunday, we're going to deal with the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. Glory be to the Lord. Then on Tuesday at 3 a.m., we have intercessory prayer. And on Thursday, we're back with our Bible study. Is Christianity real? And we're going to be talking next Thursday on the power of the resurrection. Glory be. I do have two people two special people that might come onto the radio station and share what the Lord has given them. One is Pastor George Masunave. He would have done the program today, but today is his anniversary with his wife. And I give a shout out to them for 27 years. I want to praise God for them. And you continue to hold on, to hold on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the other one is my wife, Apostle-elect Deborah Ramos. And she's going to come on one day and present what the Lord has given unto her. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos of The Way, The Truth, and Life Tabernacle here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back on Sunday at 6 p.m. where we will hold our Bible mystery, the mystery of godliness. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.